Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you all. Let's hear God's call to worship. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Let's bow our heads before him. Our Father and our God, we thank you for your call in that psalm, your call to your people to come and praise you. The chief end of man is to enjoy God, to know you, to glorify you, to live with you. That's why we are assembled here today. For all eternity, we will be worshiping you and praising you. And so we have in this hour a taste of our eternal Sabbath rest. And we pray that your Spirit will enable us to worship you in spirit and in truth, to be built up in our faith, and to enjoy this taste of what we'll be doing for all eternity. We pray these things of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading is from the book of Psalms. Psalm number 95. Psalm 95, let us hear God's inerrant word. O come, let us sing to Yahweh. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For Yahweh is the great God and the great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before Yahweh our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you'll hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They proved me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. May God bless the reading of his word. We turn from the word of God to the Nicene Creed, page 846 in the back of your hymnals. We'll confess what God has revealed to us in his word by means of this ancient summary. Christians, what do we believe? We believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Our New Testament text is James chapter 5, verse 13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Let's go together before God in prayer. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for this passage. We pray that your Spirit will enable us to understand it, not just the technical details, but that which is far more important than the technical details. We pray, Father, for that your Spirit would work in such a way that your word would achieve growth in us. Growth in grace. Growth in becoming more like Christ. Growth in having his mind and living like he lived for his glory. Achieve that in us, we pray. We want to remember those who rule over us. Very soon, the beginning of balloting and such will take place for selecting candidates to actually be put before the American people almost a year from now. It seems like it's been going on for a year already, Lord. It's getting uglier as ever, but you are sovereign. And we beg of you two things. One, that for those of us who are believers, you would help us to look at all of those asking for our votes and try to find the candidate who is least objectionable to the standards of the Word of God. And then give us, Lord, the candidate, give us the president, the senators, the congressmen. We're not electing a governor this year, but legislatures, all the people who rule us, give to us men and women who value freedom and value righteousness, who call good good and evil evil. Not because we deserve it, Father. America does not, and I think the American church does not, but because rather we need it. And if this church in this country is to continue to do things like sending out men and women like Ben and Beth, we need peace and we need prosperity. We need freedom. And we pray that you give us those kind of leaders. We also want to pray for those who protect us, regardless of the uniform they wear, the uniform of our city, cop or fireman, the uniform of our nation, and whichever branch. We pray for those who protect us. And we pray for those who minister the gospel to them. We would pray for the physical safety of those who protect us physically. And we would also pray for their spiritual safety and that the gospel would be brought to them by those who minister to them and that many would come to faith in Christ. And now, Father, as we turn back to this one little verse, open our eyes to the truth here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I'm going to kind of tear this apart a little bit before we get to the thing that all but one commentary passed over. And it was nice to see that commentator agreed with me, to put it so modestly. Is anyone among you suffering? The word suffering could also be translated having affliction. One possible rendering is misfortune. Of course, there's a profound problem with using the word misfortune. It's pagan. The fortunes are Greek deities of some sort. And when you talk about fortune, you're talking about that kind of a problem. You're dealing with a Greek deity offering, controlling your future. So the fortunes are more than a band from the 60s, and it's a pagan concept. But you're having afflictions, and it's referring to externals. You've lost all your money. Your bank has gone belly up. You lost your job. Your truck is broken. Your wife is gone. Your dog is dead. Whatever, you know, pick lots of country music songs. And, you know, what do? You're told to pray. This verse is in contrast to the preceding verse, where we're told to be truth speakers and promise keepers, but we're also told not to come up with ways to give the appearance of being a truth speaker when we're lying. That's the problem with the oaths, and all that James is doing, as you remember from that verse, is repeating what his Savior taught, his elder brother taught, about the kind of people we're to be and the kind of speech we're to have. And more importantly, what kind of speech we're not to have. Not to come up with some kind of arcane rules of, if I swear by this, it's crossed fingers, and if I swear by that, I'm really bound by it. Rather, we're always to be bound by our word. We're always to be giving our commitment. And so rather than people who speak lies, speak the truth, and then when things are not going well, speak to God. Talk to Him. Prayer is the theme of this next section. Verse 6, 14, if you're sick, let him call the elders, they'll pray over him. Reference to the prayer of faith in verse 15. Praying for each other in verse 16. We're going to deal with these in the future. Then an example of a great man of prayer, Elijah. So while 13 is kind of looking back at verse 12, it's also looking forward to the next section, and yet it also stands on its own. And yet it's also in the whole context. This whole idea of suffering, affliction, you go back to chapter 1, and James tells us, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Well, we've been over this ground before. What do you do when you have afflictions? As we've pointed out, the trials that James deals with can be good trials in a sense. What if you did win the Publisher's Clearing House? That's a trial. God is testing you. How are you going to handle that vast wealth? It's interesting that most people who win huge quantities of money are not in not too distant future are bankrupt. Maybe that's why I've never won the Publisher's Clearing House. But that's a test. It's a trial. There's a burden with being rich. We've dealt with that. There's a burden with being poor. There's a burden with being healthy. We don't really think of it that way. Usually we think of the burden when you're sick. You know, you got the flu and everything aches and your nose won't stop running and you can't stop coughing. And it's like, I wish I could lay down and die. That's a test. And James tells us in the very beginning to count it all joy because there are benefits that come from it. And one of those benefits is being addressed in this verse. What do you do? Have you grown in grace enough that when you have an affliction, when you have something coming upon you from outside that is a negative, that you turn immediately to God in prayer? Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Now, our English has two words, a verb and a noun, sing and psalms. And Greek just has one word, and it's a verb. And it's kind of fun, kind of tearing that word apart. Its original meaning is to pluck or strum. It's referring to musical instruments. And so its original idea is the idea of playing an instrument, an instrumental. Secondarily, that comes a little bit later in the use of that word, was singing to an instrument. And then in the New Testament, it picks up the connotation of singing songs of praise to God. Hence, our English translation, sing psalms. But again, the word psalm, the noun, also has the idea of singing according to musical accompaniment. Now, you know why I'm amused. Because our covenantal brethren, who insist we sing only the psalms, insist that we sing songs that are to be played with musical accompaniment without instrumental accompaniment. That's kind of funny, actually. So sing psalms. Now, that's the kind of technical stuff. And it misses the point. I read several commentaries that dealt with the technical stuff and just missed the point. Is anyone suffering? Is anyone, oh, and cheerful, I passed over that. That's internal. You've got good spirits, maybe because you've got good news. You have the external and the internal, but even with the external, there's going to be the internal results. You're going to have the internal results, but maybe it's from an external cause. Two situations and two responses. Are you suffering? Pray. Are you cheerful? Sing. To whom? Because you see, this verse, hence the title, is about a God-centered life. One of the ways that Roy knows that Roy is not using the means of grace the way he ought to, is that when there is an affliction, he responds with anger, sometimes naughty words. When he's supposed to respond, how? If you're using the means of grace, and you're habitually using the means of grace, and frequently using the means of grace, then in those circumstances, you're going to what? Use the means of grace. More importantly, if you have, by the trials, that's why James says, count it all joy for the trials, because they bring us closer to God. They make our lives centered on Him. And if we have a God-centered life, and then there is an affliction, there is a suffering, there is some disaster that occurs to us, we immediately turn to God in prayer. Do we? And as you answer that for yourself, you can also answer the question of how God-centered is my life. Consider, again, Secondly, is anyone cheerful? I think the old King James says, is anyone merry? Why would you be merry? Why would you be cheerful? Is it just because you got up on the right side of the bed this day? There are circumstances around us that give us a cheerful attitude. Regardless of whether it's the circumstances around us or just our joy, things are feeling good, so what do? You sing. To whom? I want you to take your hymnals and turn to number 53. Janet, wander back to the organ. This is planned. That's why I know the verse, the number. Because you see, when I'm using the means of grace, and there is some glorious thing that occurs, and I'm feeling really happy, I sing this psalm. Badly, usually. I don't always get the words right, but I want us to sing it now.
Thank you.
consider him. The first part, of course, all the verses start out. Praise to the Lord. That's exactly what a psalm, most psalms are. Psalms are usually fall into two categories. They are either prayer or they are praise, which is why they are great for the church to sing, because we sing the prayers of the church before us, and we sing the praise of the church before us. And as someone once pointed out, which I found kind of amusing and also enlightening, we're also singing the hymn book that Jesus used. That doesn't mean we can't have other psalms too, or other hymns too, but it's his hymn book. But praise to the Lord. I love the first verse because praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. Praise him because of who he is, and praise to him for who he is. And then the latter section in most of the verses deal with the why fors. All who hear, now to his temple draw near. Join, well, this is still the call to worship in a sense. Draw near, join me in glad adoration. But have you not seen how your desires, what's about your prayers? What are we asking for? According to the shorter catechism, what? It's the offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will. And the hymn, based on Psalm 103, says, "Hast thou not seen how thy desires? Ere have been granted in what he ordaineth, his decrees, his providence, as he provides the desires of our hearts, sometimes provides for us things that we haven't asked for because we didn't know we needed to ask for them. Sometimes doesn't give us what we want, but gives us what we need. The third verse, ponder anew what the Almighty will do if with his love he befriend thee. All the good things that he has given to us in Christ, and the good things he will give to us. Ponder how oft in grief hath not he brought thee relief. One of the things I forgot to do in the prayer earlier was to remember Paula and Jeff. But this psalm and this hymn address that, doesn't it? How oft in grief hath not he brought thee relief? And then the imagery found both in Old and New Testament. Jesus in the New Testament talking to Jerusalem, how I would like a mother hen would gather you, gather her chicks to herself. How I long to gather you to myself, spreading his wings to o'ershade thee. Do you remember the description about the tower of cloud and the tower of fire? What did the tower of fire, the pillar of fire, do for Israel? As they're in their tents, in their encampment, provided light at night. No street lights in Sinai. But the pillar of fire provided light for them. And then, do you remember the description of the pillar of cloud? Provided shade. It's descriptive of his wings. He shaded them from the blistering sun of the Sinai desert. The final hymn, like the first, is not so particularly oriented. Praise to the Lord. Let all that is in me adore him. And then the call, not just me, but a call for all. All that have life and breath, come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again. That doesn't mean you have to amen every time something nice happens in church. But it would startle me, but it would be good for us to learn to say amen gladly, for ere we adore him. What the psalm and the hymn writer are doing is exactly what James is requiring of us. Is it a good day? Then praise him. Praise him. Sing aloud. In some of our cases, not too loudly. But sing aloud. Call others to join you in with you. And we get to some of that with prayer later in this paragraph, but elsewhere in Scripture also. We're to rejoice with those who rejoice, right? Weep with those who weep. We do not stand alone. This verse is directed to each of us as individuals, but it's also in the context of the church as a whole. What about the church as a whole? Ben and Beth are leaving. I'm sure their mom and dad, or mom at least, will cry. Maybe their dad too. We should as well. I hope their mom and dad are rejoicing. We should as well. Are you having afflictions? Are you going to have separation? Then pray. The first thing, if our lives are really built around the Lord, then the first thing that should come to our mind when there's suffering, affliction, problems, is to pray. It doesn't mean you can't plan. That's Proverbs. And things are good. A new baby has been born. Your wife gets a different job. I can't remember the circumstances. I was at General Assembly at Wheaton College. I know I've done this before since then, but the one that stuck out in my mind, for some reason, something happened when I was at Wheaton, and it just filled me with joy, and yeah, we all know how great a singer I am, and I didn't get all the words right, but that hymn, praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation, it just came bursting out of my mouth, probably off key. Brothers and sisters, that should be the norm for us. And if I'm not afflicted and you are, and I'm still a God-centered man, then the first thing that should come out of my mouth is what? Prayer for you. And if you find out that you're going to have a baby, the first thing that should come out of my mouth for you is praise. That you've got your support, praise. I don't want to see you guys go. But God's called you and he's provided. So what? So we should sing. It should burst out of us because everything in our lives is a life lived before the presence of God. And everything that happens to us comes from our Father, and therefore we should respond to him for these things. Interesting thing is the only commentary that addresses that is Henry Krabbendam's. I had to send him an email to tell him, Henry, I'm glad that you agree with me. And he responded back with a smiley face. Because we usually deal with the details. We deal with the grammar and the vocabulary and all that. And that stuff's important. But miss the more important. Are you suffering? Are you cheerful? Pray. Sing to God, from whom all things come to us. Let's bow our heads before him. Our Father and our God, help us to remember that, because it's so easy to forget. When things go awry, when the engine falls out of your Volkswagen and is laying on the ground, or you lock yourself out of your car and you can't get to church, or you've just been downsized at work. We respond with grief, and we respond with planning, and we respond sometimes with, what am I going to do? We need to respond by turning to you. And when we get that new job, or we have good news, or we just are in love with the world that you've created, God, help us to respond appropriately by singing our joy to you. Because the things that have made us so cheerful and so happy have come from you. Everything that we have comes from you. And let us understand that. And understanding it, let us pray or praise as is fitting for the moment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.